Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. In August 2017, Governor John Carney signed the Coastal Zone Conversion Permit Act into law, calling it, quote, a big deal, with hopes it would spur economic development and job creation. Now, nearly 2 years later, we are close to seeing if this law will deliver on that promise. The law allows new industrial development at 14 sites previously off-limits to such development under the Coastal Zone Act. These sites are ones along the coast, where heavy industry was already doing business in 1971 when state lawmakers passed the Coastal Zone Act. But regulations to grant permits to develop these sites under the new law were needed, and the draft version of those rules is now available for review. Contributor John Hurl took a closer look at these new regulations and what they could mean for development of these sites in his latest piece, available right now at DelawarePublic.org. And he joined me earlier this week to discuss what he found. Well, let's first do a quick refresher for people. What was the purpose of the Coastal Zone Conversion Permit Act, and what is it actually trying to do?
Well, what it does is it reopens 14 industrial sites in Delaware's coastal zone to new heavy industrial development for the first time since 1971. And that was the point when the original Coastal Zone Act was passed by the state legislature and signed into law. And that was designed to prevent environmental damage to Delaware's coastal zone, which runs about pretty much the whole length of the state, 115 miles from top to bottom and 2 miles from the coast inland. The original act allowed existing heavy industry to continue to operate on these 14 sites, but it banned any new development. Now, what the new act has done, and this was passed in 2017, is allowed industrial companies to apply for permits to set up their operations under certain strict conditions, and the intention was to create jobs, was to stimulate the economy, whilst at the same time leaving in place a fairly rigorous set of protections, restrictions that are designed to protect the environment on the coastal strip.
And just to clarify, these sites are ones that had heavy industry. The industry that was there is gone, and this is kind of giving the opportunity for some other different industry that under the Coastal Zone Act, because it was new, wouldn't be allowed to come in there on a place that had already kind of been allowed to continue to have industry if that industry had not gone away.
Yes, correct. And some of these sites are abandoned, and many of them are contaminated, and there's a cleanup going on. One of the requirements on any new company setting up there is that they will be responsible for completing the environmental cleanup of those sites, which are polluted from decades of industrial activity.
And you mentioned there's 14 sites. If this new development, if it happens, would largely be in Newcastle County, correct? The majority of them are there.
Correct. 13 out of the 14 sites are in Newcastle County. A couple of examples are Sun Oil up by the Pennsylvania border, the DuPont Edgemoor site, and then one of the 14 is in Kent County. That's the Delaware Storage and Pipeline site.
Now, the regulations created for this act are supposed to strike a balance between development and maintaining the spirit of the original Coastal Zone Act and its effort to protect this environmentally sensitive area. And to do that, there was an advisory committee that was created to make recommendations for these regulations. Tell us a little bit about who was part of that committee and what it was able to do. How did it fare?
Right. Well, there were 18 members of that committee comprising a pretty broad cross-section of the Delaware community. It includes representatives of business, labor organizations, local government, environmental advocates. And they started work about 9 months ago, and the idea was that they attempted to strike a balance to arrive at a consensus. Apparently, this was not a majority voting mechanism that was set up, but it was that they strove towards achieving a consensus on these various these various issues, some of which were quite contentious. And I, on the basis of the conversations that I've had with some members of the committee or whose organizations were represented there, it sounds like they were broadly they were broadly successful in achieving compromises between the expansion of business interests in the coastal zone and the continued protection of the environment there.
And I guess if you're measuring success by how much of the recommendations were actually adopted in the regulations, they were very successful because DENREC actually pretty much copied and pasted, right?
Yes, indeed. DENREC said that DENREC had the option. The secretary had the option of suggestions, recommendations put forward by the committee were in fact only recommendations, and DENREC had the option of accepting or rejecting any of them, any or all of them. Well, they say that in fact they ended up pretty much, as you say, cutting and pasting with what the recommendations were, and those were originally produced in they were originally finalized in April, and DENREC published the actual regulations, or the draft regulations, I should say, on June 1st.
Now, the business community pushed hard for this law. Now that they see what these regulations look like and how this will likely operate in practice, what's been their reaction?
Well, I think it's probably fair to characterize that as sort of cautiously optimistic. Chatting with somebody from Delaware State Chamber of Commerce a few days ago, and he's kind of taking a wait and see. I mean, attitude to this. The chamber is welcoming the fact that the business community now has at least has the option of applying for permits to set up within the coastal zone, whereas they never did since the original Act in 1971. But they fully recognize the fact that there are still significant requirements and restrictions on any activities that end up going in the zone. So I think that, you know, they're pretty much taking a wait and see attitude to that.
On the other side of things, environmental groups have long opposed any changes to the Coastal Zone Act, and they were very skeptical about the regulation writing process, despite assurances that they would be heard as part of that process. How do they feel about this end result and how it went?
Well, I think that they certainly welcome certain aspects of the new regulations. I mean, one of them, for example, requires any industrial operators there to establish what are called offsets for any negative environmental impacts that their operations might have. They're required to, in fact, more than offset that. Those impacts, and preferably on the sites themselves, and so of course the environmental community welcomes that. I mean that there, and we should also mention that there that certain restrictions that were put in place by the original Act remain. For example, there's a continuing ban on certain industries within the zone. You can't set up a steel making factory there. You can't build an oil refinery. You can't put an incinerator in the coastal zone. And so, of course, the environmental community is happy about that. But they do. It turns out that, you know, the environmentalists do have continuing concerns. One of which is that any new installations there could potentially still be in harm's way from sea level rise.
Right, and that was one of the things you highlighted in your piece, efforts to address that particular issue and its possible impact on any development in the coastal zone. How did they actually kind of address that piece of this puzzle?
Well, there are significant requirements on any new industry there regarding sea level rise. Any company applying for a permit has to produce something called a sea level rise and coastal storm plan. And among the requirements of that are that they would have to say they'd have to declare which areas that of their proposed operation would be flooded under a quote high sea level rise scenario as defined by state scientists. And they'd also have to estimate the cost of ensuring that flooding doesn't lead to pollution or electrical outages in those sites. So the short answer here is that the regulations are setting a pretty high bar for any industrial installations in this area, given the pretty dire predictions for the Delaware coastline from sea level rise in coming years.
So what's the timetable for putting these draft regulations actually into effect? I guess October 1st was the date that the law set out. That is correct, right, that's still in place? And what's happening between now and then to get to October 1?
Yes, the regulations are supposed to have to be finalized by October 1st. The next thing to happen is that there's a public meeting in Dover on June 24th in which anybody can comment on these regulations, and the public comment period is open until July 9th.
So is there any indication that once these regulations are set in place that there's going to be a significant amount of interest in these sites for development? That was kind of the promise of this whole thing. Is there any indication that that's going to come to fruition?
Well, I think we're still in a wait-and-see mode on that, Tom. I've repeatedly asked the question on for participants in this process on all sides whether there is any interest, whether there's any preliminary discussions with potential parties here, there seems to be I'm not aware that there is really anybody in the frame at the moment. I was chatting with Representative Osiensky, who was the prime sponsor of the original Permit Act, and he pointed out that it's industry is likely to be playing its cards close to the vest, as it were, until it sees the actual detail of the regulations and knows what conditions it's going to have to meet in order to set up there. So now that those regulations, albeit in draft form, have been published, it may be that the pace of possible interest picks up here.
Yeah. Having said that, I noted in the intro that Governor Carney called this law, quote, a big deal when he signed it. It was considered a significant triumph for economic development in the state. But based on these people you've been talking to, is it possible it would wind up being much ado about nothing once these regulations are actually put in place?
Well, of course, the proponents of this, including Representative Osiensky, hope that that's not the case. And the business community continues to be optimistic that this is a new day for the coastal zone, and that all kinds of business opportunities will open up as a result of this legislation and the regulations. But it's just too early to say. And hopefully in the next few months, more detail will become apparent on this. But I think the jury's still out on that.
Thanks to contributor John Hurdle for his time on The Green this week. His piece on the draft regulations for new coastal zone development is available right now at DelawarePublic.org. Next, R. Kelly Steele goes inside Legislative Hall with longtime lobbyist Bob Byrd, who has a new book out on his career in Dover. Stay with us. You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media.